Welcome to Talentless, the podcast that's all HR, all talent, and zero fluff. Hosted by industry talent leaders, Desiree Goldie and Ashley King, and made for recruiters who think of talent outside of the box. They're here to dig into the heart of what makes workplaces tick and sometimes blow up. They are not afraid to get into the messy, the meaningful, and the downright motivating. So buckle up, because they're here to make you the best in the business. Now, let's get to work.
Listen up, audience. You don't know this, but we have filmed 47 different intro episodes for you all. And initially, we were like, you know what? We're gonna introduce them to us. And then we realized nobody probably cares. That the most you need to know is that who you're listening to is qualified. So we're gonna run in through this real quick. My name is Ashley King. I have a master's in psychology. I specialize in IO psych and social psychology research within the business and corporate workspace. I started a company, DEI Labs, and I have been in talent for close to 15 years. I think I'm around 12, 13. So almost at a cool number. But all right, passing it to the co-host here.
Yeah, I'm Desiree Goldie. For those that don't know me, I am the director of marketing in a large global talent advisory firm. I'm also the founder of Do Better Consulting. I've been around in some form of people leadership, recruiting, and development my entire career. So that if I turned 50 last year, people, that's a long time. So I've been around a long time and really enjoy working with people and understanding people. So I'm so excited to be here with Ashley and bring this podcast to you. Let's get it going.
The only thing that we have to mention is because some of y'all are like, why is it called Talentless? Listen, all right, because majority of companies, HR was an admin who got promoted. And essentially, that organization does not have a centralized functioning talent. They're talentless. They don't have the strategy. They don't have the big picture moving to scale and also all these different things in between. So here's the point, okay? They're talentless. And this podcast can be for them. Anyone who is a hiring decision maker in any capacity at all can learn something from this podcast. So we hope you enjoy it.
You are into people in the people business. This one's for you, folks. We're doing it. It's for you.
Yeah. So on this episode, instead of talking about us, because again, like, we're boring.
Boring.
Yeah, we're so boring. We're going to talk about you because you're exciting, obviously.
Yeah.
And because we kind of want to set the tone for expectation of who our listeners are, and kind of what our expectations are from them in the sense of how we'll be speaking to you, because we have high expectations.
Yeah.
With being in this business for so long, you begin to fall in love with it. And whenever you fall in love with something and respect an industry like this, you often will feel totally okay and right critiquing it because it deserves that, because it should grow, because it should get better, because it is important. And so because of those things, we will be having often critiques.
Many, many, many critiques.
But listen, we're going to have so many solutions.
We are. We're not just here to disrupt it. We're here to put it back together, people.
So as we dive into this, I just want to say the reason that we want to talk about you is because we want to set that tone that this is not a paper pushing podcast. This is a podcast for someone who is a strategic thinker, who wants to be a business partner, who is an extension of their managers and everything talent that needs to be good, equitable, inclusive, and as diverse as humanly possible. So let's talk about you. You are in the people business. We are firm believers that your capabilities should be put on a pedestal. And the reason for that is because IT cannot do what HR can do. Marketing cannot do what HR can do. Sales cannot do what HR can do. And what I mean by that is HR has a role in micro and macro systems within the United States. And to put that rather quickly, what I mean by this is on a micro scale at the business that you work at within HR, you're deciding job titles for the organization. You are deciding salaries and maybe even approving the exact rate that someone will get. You're doing a lot of things that impact individuals on a micro scale.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, the power you hold up individuals' hands right now in HR and talent is amazing, right? Right.
Yeah. Many hands held.
Yeah. On a micro level, I'll let you do the macro, but even on a micro level, it's amazing.
And so essentially the macro to this is the conglomerate of that decisions. So that is the masses. So because this HR individual at this company set this salary, now we do have national salary bands and ranges. Now we do have corporate norms and social norms within the workplace that is shaped on this macro scale. We also have social economic status being determined because your title and occupational status can also be indicative of your social status within society. So whenever we look at these decisions that we're making, although they seem small, they're honestly at scale quite large and create huge phenomena of our norms. But what they also create are things that maybe aren't awesome. So one of those things is the wealth gap in the United States. So we do see that over the past 25 years is whenever HR has gone from paper pushing administrator to more of a strategic business partner. In those same 25 years, we see the wealth gap widen like it never had in the history of the US. Like it literally is like the biggest V. Like in our newsletter, we can put the data, like the little thing. I have the picture still. Essentially, ever since we started being able to be a part of this vertical and be the person that not only houses that information, but makes the decisions about that information, we've seen it actually not doing well for the working class. And of course, there's so many other things that go into this, right? That HR cannot.
Right.
So like taxation. So we know that taxation has changed for the top 1% of earners to where they used to be taxed around 75 to like 80% of their income. Now it's closer to around, I think, 35%. And we mere mortals are at like 25, I think. So it's something to where we've seen those changes. And of course, that has nothing to do with HR, but there are things within HR's capacity that do impact this. So for instance, right now, we have the most educated society of women ever in the US. More women have formal degrees in the United States than they ever did before. And so, and are still pursuing education to where they're actually outpacing graduation for their male counterparts. So we're seeing great changes, you know, where a group who is minoritized essentially as far as gender goes is now surpassing the other. That's great, but we're not seeing that being reciprocated in corporate America. We're not seeing women breaking into 10% of executives. We're still at like 8.8. It's not even 9%. So what can we do in HR to make changes to things that seemingly may not seem related to us, but in the end, kind of are?
They are completely related.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Like, again, whenever we're talking about dictating norms and social status, right. If you say I am, what did they used to call recruiters other things too, like, headhunters, they used to be called, I mean, I know headhunters, but they also used to be called, there was one place that called them like rock star phone dialers or like just something weird. Right. And it's the way that those things are packaged matter in society. Like, yeah, it does. And absolutely. So whenever it comes to company culture, whenever it comes to deciding who gets in the organization. And
well, that's my biggest one right there. Let's hit pause on that one. You are a decision maker who gets in the door, right? And for me, the work we've done together, even Ashley, making sure that that pipeline or that thing is happening, that you can get someone across the finish line, is huge. It is a huge amount of power to sit in your hands to be able to change what the framework and the makeup of your organization looks like.
Yeah.
Right. You have the power to do that in your bitty little hands. Yes, you have hiring managers and all these other things, and HR still needs to approve them at the end of the day and all these, but you start that process. And for me, that's like a thing I can't express enough to people of how much they really do influence the decisions of who gets in the door.
Truly. And especially the more strategic you are,
right,
the more influence that
absolutely,
you will
be having. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's significant, especially whenever they trust you to design the process, right? Because now we can do skill-based. Now we can kind of leverage a few other things as well to where we can ensure that we've eliminated these biases.
Oh my God. I just talked to someone about writing a job description the other day, and like how you choose to write that job description, even the little words you choose to put in it,
yeah,
right, change the trajectory of that role. And so I can't say enough, if you are given a system or a process to write, you hold power in that system or process or structure or whatever you're asked to develop, even like employee engagement experience, if you're on the HR side of things, right? Like even how you develop that program influences who stays, never mind who gets in, right?
So, and I think that that's key, because right, talent persuades who gets in.
Right.
How long they stay and how long they'll work for you,
right,
that's kind of determined by HR. Like, yeah, what are the policies? Are they okay with the vacation time? What time do they clock in, clock out? What, like all these decisions that HR makes decides if people actually want this job or not because of the policies that they've created. So it's in both ways. Right. And to be honest, deciding how long they'll stay decides how much you in talent's job sucks, because it's going to be a revolving door. So if you also can't get strategic with your HR partners and say, hey, what the hoo-ha is going on? Every exit interview, they're saying that this is why. Can't keep, you know, just bringing humans in because you want to keep a pause. Like, what's the motivation? What's the logic? You know, get curious with them. So yeah, there's so much. You build the talent brand. You build who will even come to the door. And you know what? You just had an example the other day of someone who wouldn't right, talk to you because of your brand. And it saved you.
Yes, right. And my personal brand, right? So for people that don't know and didn't see the post, I had a candidate who didn't want to speak to me because I had rainbows next to the headline in my LinkedIn profile and did a post about that. But this is real true stuff. I didn't make that up just for clickbait. It actually happened that a candidate chose not to speak to me. And my response was, well, thank you for telling me you're not a fit, right? Without telling me. You know, I don't even need to know any. So there's power in what I was able to do right there and say, you are not fit for this organization that I'm searching for.
Yeah.
Because of your ideals or whatever. You're not going to fit into this culture. And so, by the way, on that candidate note, I just want that candidate, I hope he listens to this show and realizes how much opportunity he misses out on just because of that one comment he made. But I will say, I don't want to digress. But the point is that there is power in the ability to stop who gets in the door. Mm. And I take that very seriously as a recruiter and as a strategic business partner. I take that I do have that yay or nay kind of influence very, very seriously. And I think most recruiters do.
I hope.
Yeah, me too, right?
I mean, I would think, because again, you're closing or shutting a door to someone's potential next steps. Like, it should be very detailed and thorough, kind of thoughtful process that's intentional. But there are some times that I wonder, like, do people just, I mean, I have worked places where people had a quota, so they would just call people to get the interview and they knew that they weren't going to hire them. I thought that was gross, in my opinion. I mean, that kind of comes down to quality versus quantity. I don't know what the deal was with this individual.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I think the format of how many dials you get. And I'm not, this is no hating on agency people, because some agencies are really, really good. But, you know, I think there's a difference in the quality versus quantity type of argument. And I'm sure there are recruiters, you know, there's always a LinkedIn argument about recruiters being horrible. But I think the argument is that there are good and bad in every profession.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not every recruiter is a great recruiter. Some are really great. Some are good. I just going to be the spectrum, just like if there was an engineer, right? There's a great software engineer and there's a just not really good software engineer. I think the same applies. It's just that the difference for people is that we hold people's lives in our hands almost.
Yeah.
And influence their pay and their wages and whether they get opportunity. And that's what we're talking about here, folks. This is what we're talking about. That power of holding the life of someone in your hand is enormous. And if you don't take it seriously, we hope on this show that you listen to us more and more and develop those skills and really take the work you do seriously. Like I know most of you do. So I don't want to get too serious, but.
And I mean, and you're exactly right. That is what we want. We want to take this from recruiting, reactive, transactional, right, to talent acquisition, to talent infrastructure, talent, like whatever piece of talent you want to have significance in. Because I do think that's important to kind of delineate, because there is some of this that, again, as you go to strategic, you will have to break out segments of talent. Like how you have interviewing and assessment, or you have sourcing and things like that, because that's what makes you strategic as well. No longer is it a clump sum of I need a smile and dial.
This episode is brought to you by DEI Labs, re-educating corporate America with immersive data-driven DEI training for HR and hiring pros. Ready to shift systems and spark real change? Visit DEI-labs.com to get started. Need a resume that actually works? Resume Writing is a female-owned team of recruiting pros helping job seekers land the roles they deserve. Get expert help at resumewriting.com.
I was thinking about this hard last night about who I wanted to be listening and who I think will listen. And, you know, I hope that, first of all, people enjoy the banter that we have, but I also hope that they truly learn something and are here to learn something. You know, my relationship with you, Ashley, over time has developed into one of learning for me. And so I value that. And I hope that people, because I believe in recruiting, we believe sometimes we fill jobs, we're in this order taking mode, and we almost stop learning. And so I'm hoping that this becomes a learning environment as well as a lot of fun. But I hope this is educational and a space and, you know, 30 minutes of their day, they get to learn something new about their role or their job or how people work. Cause we're going to be talking a lot about that too, right? We're not just going to be talking recruiting and talent, because it's influenced by people. So we'll be giving you some things you didn't know before and, you know, kind of really influencing how you start to think about the work that you do. So I'm excited to do this, but I really had to put that out there that I hope this is not only just a good time, but, you know, an educational experience for many.
Yeah. Like the stuff you didn't know segment, I'm very excited about, because it'll be based on what we're talking about that week. And they're kind of psychological need to knows that help you navigate through life and through, you know, these different things that we'll be talking about this season. It'll help you understand your basic cognition and processing according to social psychology. So like everyone should just be pumped up. They better not hear all these words and be like, oh my God, they're taking us to school. Like,
that's definitely what they're going to say. They're going to be like, oh, all right, no. That's enough of that.
listen. All right. Stuff you didn't know is going to be poison. All right. It's going to be the best part of your week. You're going to be can't wait.
You're going to be begging for it. Seriously.
Oh my God. They're going to be like texting us. They're going to be hiding in the bushes outside of our house.
Oh my God.
Being like, what?
Lining up. Stuff you didn't know this week. Lining up.
Like, I know. Lining up.
Let's talk about what we're actually, like, the topics we see ourselves covering season. So I'm hiring manager coaching and things like that. What other topics do you think we're going to be focusing on this season, Ashley?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about niche roles. We're going to be talking about being myth busters. And whenever I'm talking about myths, I'm talking about the merit myths. So that way, if your company is deciding to make a U-turn and going towards fascism, you know how to use merit correctly. All right, that is the purpose, because right now merit is a loose leaf term that don't mean a whole lot of much, and it also doesn't come out congruent whenever you use it in an assessment. So hold on to your hats, campers. We're going to be going in on that one.
My favorite one is coming up quite soon, is the relationship between HR and talent. Because that's
our HR relations episode. Y'all.
Yeah. Because that might get a little dicey. I'm waiting for that one. You know, it's something I talk about consistently, and how the relationship could be better. And so I'm really excited for that one. But I'm just excited for the whole season, really, to get it out there and really be excited for everybody to hear us and really do some good work, hopefully, for the space.
Like, the only thing I would want to add to that is I want our listeners to be innovative. I want them to take what we're saying and being able to apply it to whatever they need to create better outcomes for those in their community, those in their business, and those around them, like for all people. Like, I would love, however long from now, for someone to come up to us and be like, hey, I listened to this episode and it helped me solve XYZ problem and la-di-da. Like, that would be tremendous.
That would be the goal, right?
Yeah. Like, for them to be innovative with the information that we're able to provide would be great. The other thing that I was thinking of while you were talking is, I would like, since this is episode one, because I'm all about, you know, just making goals, who would be your dream celebrity listener? Like, if a celebrity was listening to our show, you'd be like, what?
Wait a minute. Is this like a celebrity, like a movie star? Celebrity?
Whomever. I mean, just if they have a poll.
I don't know. You know what? I would love if Gabrielle Union was like, really? Signed up, did a spotlight on us, did some really big things. She's big in the space and big, and for those that don't know, big in the DEI space. And, you know, it would be like a, I don't know, I feel like I would check one box. I think there's so many, though, if I was talking HR and talent that are pretty prominent, that I would just love to be listeners. I don't know if we probably would consider them celebrities in this space, but I would love for some really people that I admire and respect to be, listening. And if I pick, that Gabrielle Union's probably never going to listen to this show, but you know, you got,
that's what I'm
you
saying.
Speak it into existence, yeah. Right? Speak it into existence, right? So both of us know that there are people that we admire that eventually we'd love to have on the show, that we'd love to interview and do some really great things with. And there's probably way too many to mention, but that's a really hard question for me, because I would love so many people to listen to it, but just to listen to it, just to say they listen to it, but also the ones that get value. I'm going to ask you the worst interview question ever, right?
Okay.
Where do you see this show in 5 years?
Hopefully with a Grammy or like whatever they get.
Such horrible podcasters. I don't even know what the podcast awards are called. If someone out there knows, can you please email us and let us know? Desiree at Talent.
Yeah.
I have no idea what
it's a Golden Globe, dude.
I know the websites are called the Webbies. Oh, okay. Right?
I don't know. I just want a Golden Globe. We're going to get EGOTs off
this. We're going to be EGOTs on this day.
We're going to be EGOTty. That's all I know for certain. We're going to be EGOTs in 5 years. Everybody going to be jelly pants. I don't know. 5 years from now, I'll be presidential eligible. So I was thinking maybe we could have it, you know, from there the White House if it still exists.
Yes. Ashley King for president, everybody.
No, you're supposed to be the president. Remember?
Oh, I'm going to run for president?
Girl, yes. I just want to be like chief of staff, literally talent, but just for, I'll be like, this person's smart, we're going to put them there. Trust me, Desiree, this person's super smart, we're going to put them super there. You know what I mean? So I think I'm best at that. I can orchestrate.
I do want to touch back on, you know, there was, we did this kind of talk about who you are in talent and a little bit at RecFest last year. And some of the really great response we got was that they felt like, you know, there was heart to what we were saying. And part of that, I think, came from the fact that we were explaining to people that wealth gap and that generational wealth portion of the work that they do. And I think I just want to touch on it again. If we could just go back there a little bit and just touch back on really the insights into what that means. Because I think you explained it, but I would like it to be explained just a little bit deeper for our audience. Because I don't think it's really truly understood, and especially the generational wealth peer portion.
Yeah.
So if you could go into that a little bit more, I would love to hear it. I know our audience would really love to hear it as well.
Yeah. So essentially, this is the significance is, especially whenever we're talking about generational wealth, it's going to be a little bit harder to evaluate it on a large macro scale, at least for some time, right? Like it'll take time to be able to see that. But as far as individuals go, you can alter people's generational wealth whenever they get hired. Perhaps maybe it's their very first salary job ever. And so now they're not having to do clock in, clock outs. They're not having to, you know, lose money because they need to go vote or they need to go to a doctor's appointment or something like that. Like all of a sudden, their life kind of changes a little bit. They don't get unpaid because their kid's sick and they need to go pick them up. They have sick days now. So like there's a lot that impacts individuals whenever they are able to transition from lower income hourly roles to higher income salaried roles. There are lots of people who work hourly that are very well off and perfectly fine. This isn't a thing against exemption statuses. This is just more of a thing of tendencies we see because of the laws that we have in place and the compliances that we have in place as well to ensure that, you know, once you are exempt, what does that status mean? What are the things that adhere to that? You have to work a minimum of, I believe it's 32 hours. You have to, you know, all these different things. So it adds a lot of flexibility. So whenever we're talking about opening or shutting a door, we're talking about a lot. You're talking about their occupational status, which whenever you tell people I do customer service, they're probably going to be like, oh, Walmart. But if you say I am a customer success manager, well, now all of a sudden they, you know, they're cool school. So there's a lot of impact on things for decisions that we make that are so small and so tiny, and they mean so much to the population that we're putting under these decisions. Again, things like you negotiating with them whenever they're wanting to have a salary of 107, but previously you said 105. Well, I got another offer, and so now I'd be looking for 107. In the grand scheme of things, $2,000 to a multi-million-dollar company is nothing. It's nothing at all. In fact, 2080 means they got a $1 raise. So in the grand scheme of things, like this is not a lot. Now, if you're like a tiny mom and pop, like, yeah, that's probably going to matter. So, you know, keep in mind the, you know, proportions that I'm talking about here. Don't go crazy. Like, benefit the people, especially if they're coming into the business. Benefit the people. That is what you are here for.
I love it. I love benefit the people, right?
Literally.
I think that's what we're here to do. And who our listeners are, they're here to benefit the people. It's why they tuned in. I don't think we hear that enough anymore. I used to hear that all the time, and I don't think I hear it enough anymore is the human part of what we do. And be there and, you know, advocating for the people. I hope that's who our listener is at the end of the day. Ashley, this has been an exciting conversation. I'm excited to see where this season goes and who we have on and who listens in, if anybody.
Two people.
Even if they don't.
Your mama and my mama.
Right, exactly. My mom, your mom, my wife. There'll be three listeners. We got three over here.
Hey, Mom.
No, that's a good, that's all we need. So yeah, absolutely excited to do it. Ashley, we're going to go into the stuff you didn't know before. This is the segment we have in all of our episodes that discuss the psychological side of the topics we've been discussing. And today we've been discussing you. So we're going to discuss a few psychological need to knows that will help you for the rest of this season when trying to understand our basic cognition and processing according to social psychology. Now, you all have to know I did not write that sentence. That is an Ashley King written sentence, but that is the truth. This is what we're about to do. So first, we have the two ways of operating in our brain. Let's go, Ashley King.
All right, people, here's what you need to know about your cognition and your brain. You have two ways of processing thoughts. So how do thoughts come about? Well, first of all, you have your five senses, not six. We don't see dead people, only the five. And whenever your senses catch something, it sends a stimuli. Whenever you feel a wind breeze and you're like, whoo, that's chilly, that started because it was picked up by your senses. And so once that happens and we start a thought, one of two things happen. Either we have an automatic processing, which means whenever you got that wind chill, you probably didn't think, oh, the skin on my back got chilly, now I'm wiggling. It was a very automatic process. It was just chilly and you wiggled. You never probably even thought about it. However, the other option that you could have is controlled processing. So the best way to think about these two things, automatic processing is you breathing. It's natural. You're not thinking about it. It's doing it all by itself. Controlled processing is you deep breathing in yoga class. Whenever she says, okay, breathe in deep and then go, mwah, that is your controlled processing. So that is you having to put cognitive effort towards thinking about something that is not automatically happening on its own. So whenever we talk this season about this person does this automatically, or this person does this and it's a conscious controlled decision, what we're talking about is how it is processed in the brain.
Yes.
The second thing you need to know about your brain that is different than any other being on this planet is your imagination. Yeah, there is no other being on the planet that has imagination. Now, they have memory, but they cannot imagine things and concoct things in their mind that have never existed till that point. So whenever we're denying imagination, whenever we're denying innovation, we're denying the best and only superpower besides opposable thumbs that we really have. So it's pretty significant, this portion of our brain and what it allows us to do. Because the study of social psychology is the study of a person in the presence of others or the perceived presence. So that means it doesn't even have to be real for it to change our behavior. So we'll be diving into that a lot and discussing how we self-sabotage a lot of human life and things because of what we do to ourselves.
We are self-sabotagers of many, many things.
Yeah, that's how anxiety, all these things, a lot of it stems from this ability. One other thing that I'm going to say that's I think is so cool, but I didn't have it written here. Do you know that whenever people would dig up fossils and like they would find human remains, the way that they know if it's a human or not is because they had like an innovative tool next to them whenever they died. So like if they had like a shiv or something like that, they would know that that person was a Homo sapien because they had like an innovative thing next to them because no one else can do that.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Isn't it weird?
Super cool though, right?
Yeah. Very, very cool. I know. This is
very, very cool.
This is the useless stuff in the brain. Like, who needs this? No one.
I'm Desiree.
And I'm Ashley. And thanks for listening to Talentless, where we keep it real in the world of HR.
If you loved what you heard, don't forget to hit subscribe and give us a follow on Blue Sky, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We're here to keep your feed packed with everything you need to level up in recruitment and HR.
And be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And hey, don't miss out. Sign up for our newsletter for fresh insights and follow us on socials to stay connected with both Ashley and me.
Thanks again for joining us on Talentless. Until next time, we'll see you then.